This episode of the Paddock Pass podcast is brought to you by Renthal Street Clip-On Handlebars, premium race-spec clip-ons developed by some of the world's fastest riders.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the last edition of the Paddock Note Show from the Grand Prix of Qatar. And David Emmett, I have to say I'm much happier looking at you than I am at Neil Morrison. I've had to suffer him for the last 3 days. So it's good to link up. How have you been? Did you enjoy the races today?
Yes, I did enjoy the races today. It was good for it to be happening for real again. I mean, like, to be honest, at the start of the weekend, you're just thinking, I don't know about all this. And then it starts, especially yesterday, I was like, oh yeah, no, okay. Yeah, no, this is actually just really fantastic.
Well, Neil's been submerged into a late crazy deadline. So we did actually want to do the Paddock Pass podcast show tonight from the press room here in LaSalle. It's actually coming up to about 20 past 12. So it's getting pretty late. So unfortunately, we're not going to have the full show, but then I guess listeners or viewers will have to put up with just you and I for this quick notes roundup. But just a quick advertisement for the usual Paddock Pass podcast show this week. We will have an interview with Pedro Acosta's crew chief from Red Bull GasGas Tech 3, Paul Trevathan, a friend of the podcast. Always great to talk to him. You always learn something, and he's a good guy as well. Pretty funny. So we've got that interview coming up, and we've got the latest, or should I say the first bout of banter going on with the Alpine Stars Paddock Pass Podcast Fantasy League. Did you check your stats, Dave?
I did not. I know that I did terribly yesterday. I checked after yesterday, but I haven't looked today. But I mean, I had Pecco, so I reckon I should have done reasonably.
Was he gold or silver?
Gold? What a silly question that is. I mean, why would you pay all that money and not go full gold?
Very true. All my gold riders were Pecco and also Brad Binder. So I suspect
that's not bad.
I might have more points than you. Although I was a little disappointed that Aleix Espargaró didn't come through for me as a silver rider. And then Pedro Acosta, he did excel in some ways, in some very exciting ways. And, you know, got some decent points, I think. What did he finish? Ninth? Yeah, he was eighth in the sprint. So ninth in the Grand Prix. It wasn't too bad. Just a quick summary for people that listen to the podcast and can't quite right remember what went on, or, you know, haven't really digested the results fully. This was the first Grand Prix victory in the opening round of the MotoGP season for Pecco Bagnaia, the reigning world champion. And Dave, let's quickly talk about him, because it was very much a weekend of a typical MO by Bagnaia. You know, it started with some drama on Friday, slowly got better on Saturday, and come Sunday, he just exercised that kind of pre-season form of speed that we've been seeing for the last few weeks and months.
Yeah, exactly. It was absolutely dead typical Pecco Bagnaia weekend, where he's sort of all right in the sprint race, but I mean, genuinely, that was some performance by Bagnaia in the main race. The way he managed that race, and it was a very difficult race because of the conditions. The track is incredibly abrasive. We were going, you know, a full second slower than yesterday, because everyone knew they had to make their tyres last. The way that he kept on managing, towards the end, it really looked like Brad would be able to come back on him, Brad Binder. But every time he got closer, then Pecco would turn up the pace a little bit and just pull out the gap and manage it, keep it around a second. It was absolutely masterful. And also, he was saying in the press conference something about because they had some chatter yesterday. A lot of the Ducati riders had some chatter yesterday. And in the press conference, he was saying, yeah, well, we found a little bit of a solution. We also found a couple of ways to a way to ride that was slightly different that helped a lot. So, yeah, that made a big difference. Again, I think the chatter was coming, one, from having so much grip, and two, from just going so fast. It was such a fast sprint race yesterday. And this was a much more, I won't say sedate pace. It was only a little bit faster than last year, rather than sort of ridiculously faster.
Yeah, I had a look at the times from last year and I was a little surprised, because at first I thought the race actually might have been a bit slower, but it was, you know, faster, but not that much, really. But I mean, the track was resurfaced last year. There was also the fact that, you know, we had rain on Friday, and there's also Pirelli rubber down instead of Dunlop rubber. There are, you know, various factors. And of course, it's round one as opposed to round 19 like it was last year, or 18. But yeah, these factors coming into play. And Brad Binder was interesting in the press conference, Dave, his body language. He was masking his frustration with kind of like a forced smile, as if to say that, you know, he just tried as hard as he could to chip away at the gap to Bagnaia, which pretty much hovered around 4 to 7/10, 8/10 for most of the Grand Prix. But in the last two laps, it just stretched out to above a second. That was it. And Bagnaia was absolutely faultless. But, you know, an impressive performance from Binder, second place. That's a 2-2 for the weekend. Again, his best start to a MotoGP season. He was second here at LaSalle 2 years ago. And, yeah, he repeated that. But he said they really struggled that day to take that podium finish, whereas this time the KTM's in better shape. And I think there's a renewed sense of optimism around the Austrian camp.
Yeah, I mean, the KTM looked really good. And in fact, it was interesting listening to what all the riders said who'd ridden behind the KTM. They all said, KTM looks really, really good. You know, like it was, it could get grip around corners. It was strong on corner entry. It was also strong out of corner entry. Even Luca Marini, who finished right at the back, spent some time behind Jack Miller after Jack Miller crashed. And he said it was really interesting actually seeing that and seeing what the KTM did well. So I think there is a real sense of optimism here. I think there is a real and reason for optimism for the KTM. I mean, not just because of Pedro Acosta, but because Brad Binder, I think, is genuinely a championship candidate. I think he's going to win more races and cause Pekka Bagnaia a few headaches.
But like the Aprilias, Dave, it's a case where one rider is really able to maximise the package at the moment, whereas the other riders tend to be struggling a little bit. Maverick Viñales, you know, looked bright in the test, and then, you know, coming into the weekend, we thought he could do some damage. But then he said that they needed this race to keep on learning about the 2024 setup, whereas Alessio Spargaró just loves the stability, the extra downforce of the Aprilia. But, you know, he was sort of stopping short of saying anything too controversial. And he also looked pretty livid, even talking to us in the media debrief. He was pretty much pointing to some sort of tyre issue. He said that he couldn't ride the motorcycle anywhere near the pace that he could in the Saturday sprint. And that was the reason that he just couldn't move forward. He was stuck in the 153s all race. And yeah, he was the epitome of sort of barely sustained frustration. So you know, and of course, you know, Miguel Oliveira and Raul Fernandez riding two different specs of the motorcycle, you know, that kind of mirrors the situation a little bit of Augusto Fernandez, where he's riding the 24 KTM, still can't get comfortable with it. Jack Miller is kind of continuing the theme of the Grand Prix a little bit, that is a 2023 remade, you know, because Miller had electronic problems yesterday where he couldn't suppress the wheelie of the RC16. And then today he said he couldn't find the speed, couldn't find the grip, and of course crashed out on turn one on lap two. So there's all these varying stories going on again that just pretty much roll out from the tests. And we don't really have a clear direction as to which European brand is going to be the closer to the Ducatis.
No, I mean, I think that it's going to be KTM, because I think KTM just looks more consistent. The bike looks a lot more consistent. And Binder is just riding so much better. Binder is riding really, really well, and it's going to be up to him to not make mistakes. That was his problem last year. This year, he will have to make sure that he doesn't make mistakes. Alessio Spargaro's complaints about rear tires. We had that weird situation on the grid where it looked like Raul Fernandez stalled his bike and then didn't, I don't know if he refused to get off the grid or couldn't get off the grid or something, or didn't know what to do, but just generally made a mess of it, caused a delay to the start. Now they come out with the tire warmers, but they don't bring out the generators. So you've just got the hot tire warmers. And I think that a few people lost temperature in their tire there. And that's going to cause just a huge problem and make it very, very difficult to actually get pressure and temperature back into the tire. It's really difficult. And also, I mean, To me, the biggest difference between the KTM and the Aprilia is the KTM is just like an... It looks like they've got their... How can I put this very, very politely? It looks like they've got their... they found a new special start device, which is getting them off the... getting off the line, which does the same job as the one that they got told to take off the bike last year. And Aprilia, if not, Aprilia's starts are fairly mediocre. But the KTM start is really good. Look at what Brinda did. Look at what Jack did. Jack got a really good start as well, but ended up crashing. So, yeah, I think KTM is in really good shape. And like I say, Brad Binder is just looking so... he's looking in complete control.
Oh, whatever they're using on the bike, they've certainly gathered their excrement. The KTM's looking like the bike to have off the line. And for phenomenal starts. Dave, let's go through the order because we mentioned Jorge Martin took third place and, you know, he's already slotting into championship form. If you can win the sprint, take a podium on a Sunday and do that on a consistent basis, then you're going to be there or thereabouts throughout most of the year.
Yeah, but you'd be better off doing what Pekka Bagnaia does, which is be close to the podium in the sprint race and win the main race because there's so many more races. This is the lesson from last year. It really is like, you know, 2023 Redux. And also it feels like this is... Normally what you see at Qatar is sort of a bit of a strange race where you're not really sure what's going to happen. You sort of like think, okay, because normally it takes three or four races just for everything to settle down. Also because you get strange tracks like Austin, Argentina. We won't have Argentina this year. But now, and then you get to Jerez and then the season really starts. This felt like the season. This felt like this is what it's going to be like for the rest of the year.
Oh, I've lost my moment. My train of thought there for a moment. Dave, what about fourth place? Marc Márquez.
Marc was very close to his podium. Marc Márquez is working to a plan. He has a plan. And when you listen to what he's saying and you read between the lines, it is quite clear that he keeps on saying, like, I have to be patient. I'm being patient this year. I'm doing this and I'm doing this and this. He clearly has a very clear step, a plan in his mind, and he is following it, which is, you know, learn to do this, learn to do that, sort of take the next step. He's used this race to learn about racing. For example, he said he was struggling with the front tire because his team had to figure out, or they had to learn how much pressure to put in his front tire because they've never... You know, they don't know what he does in a race. So they needed that race to understand what to do with his front tire pressure. So they played it safe. Nobody wants the 16-second penalty. And so he was a little bit off. He ran out of front tire by at the end and couldn't, because it looked like he would take Jorge Martin and demote Martin to fourth. But he just ran out in the last couple of laps. But you can really feel that there is Marc Márquez is building up slowly, and he is going to be a championship contender. It's just that it's going to take a little while.
He's also a big face liar. He said he's going to get nowhere near the podium, and there he was on his first race. I mean, he has been kind of preaching a lot of mantras about adapting his style, like you say, Dave, patience, just wants to be competitive, thinking about the top five, top six. And, you know, you just knew that sort of that kind of class of competitor would be there or thereabouts. And ironically, you know, his biggest challenge came from the next generation of Marc Márquez, and Pedro Acosta is the next big talking point. A fantastic race. And let's be honest, there was very much, again, coming back to last year's kind of theme, a pretty static kind of running order. And if it wasn't for Pedro Acosta's antics in pushing up, I think from eighth he was in the first couple of laps all the way to fourth, then the race might have seemed a little bit longer. It was entertaining stuff, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing about Pedro Acosta is no one has told him yet that it's supposed to be really difficult to overtake because he just... And to be honest, all of his overtakes were... they were forceful but perfectly clean. You know, they were getting past. But he did say, look, you know, I didn't want to... if I was going to pass Mark for example, when he passed Mark for, I think, for fourth. He said, look, I wanted to get past, but I wanted to make sure that I could get past, that I wouldn't, you know, mess it up. He did. He wanted to be 100% sure that he was going to make it. But again, just a rookie mistake, really. Used too much tyre at the start. Pushed on. Alex Marquez, when he came past Alex Marquez, he went, he was in quali mode. And he thought, well, if he can make it, then good luck to him. But we'll see about that. And he got a long way. But in the end, he just burned up his tyre. I mean, it was also quite good fun seeing the smoke sort of pouring off his back tyre through a lot of those corners. And actually, the way that he managed that was really, really clever. And he will have learned a lot from this race, I think. This to me is going to be a big step forward. The really big question is Portimao. I think, you know, what happens in Portimao, because he hasn't tested there. There's no data. Again, we're going to have the same with Marc Marquez. He hasn't tested there. No data. No idea what it's going to be like. So then we start to see something a little bit. Then we see where people really are.
Yeah, Marc Marquez was saying this to the Spanish media that he thinks that Portimao will be very much a baptism of fire, purely because he has no references whatsoever. His brother's pretty handy around there, so I guess there's that as a guide. But like your point about Mark as well as Pesta are really strong for that, and it may be a circuit where the likes of, say, Jack Miller surprised us last year for the first round in his KTM debut. I think our media center's falling down around us. Then that could be a reverse situation, because it wasn't a great Grand Prix for Miller, like we said. And the reason I mentioned his name is because Pedro Acosta was extremely complimentary about the GasGas RC16. He said the bike was fantastic, and you think, well, that just adds to the whole extraordinary nature of his debut, because he's managed to sort the bike so much to his liking. And as people will hear or see later on this week in the podcast with our interviewer Paul Trevathan, that's something that the guys have worked out really well, and they've managed to make a forward step. Dave, just one more talking point. I guess we should go through what is now being called the Japanese Cup. It does seem a bit of a shame that, for all of the extra effort and, you know, all the positive signs. I mean, you were quite effusive about the efforts that Honda and Yamaha were making in Sepang for the first test of the season, that they're still not in a good place. Perhaps we should be realistic about how quickly they are going to make forward progress, especially against the Ducatis. But it was, in particular, I think Luca Marini, when he was talking with us, he just had to smile and put a brave face on it.
Yes. I mean, they are still a long way behind, but they have made progress. You saw with the times that they'd made progress. The trouble is, everyone has made progress too. So it's not a static. It's just not a static target. You know, it keeps moving. So I'm still optimistic. I still think that they are doing better than they are. The Yamaha's biggest problem is, just tire wear. You know, they couldn't use the tire. Juan Mir got past Fabio Quartararo and actually looked like he was going to win that. But he said to get past, he had to use too much tire, and then he just ran out of tire again and had to give it up to Fabio. They're sort of because Quartararo finished 11th, just basically, you know, well, what was it, 4 seconds outside the top 10, which is, I mean, it's not great, but it's not terrible. It's not sort of, you know, struggling to get into the points. Zarco and Juan Mir just behind them, so they're not a million miles away, and there weren't a lot of people crashing out in front of them. So I think they're not bad. They are closer than they still have a lot of work to do. They still have a lot of ironing out to do. I think Luca Marini was saying, look, he had some ideas about the bike balance. And there'll be some new parts that they're getting for Portimao, which came from the test. So there is progress being made. It's just that, you know, the Ducati, especially with Pecco Bagnaia, is such a perfect machine. And Brad Binder is doing superbly on the KTM. So the level is so high that, you know, to catch up, you have to improve at a faster rate than bikes which are already so incredibly good.
Yeah, I asked Joanne Mir, I said, what was the atmosphere like in the team now? I mean, are the HRC engineers somewhat downcast, you know, because their efforts haven't resulted in much. And again, the situation for Luca Marini was desperate. I think he was all, you know, 3 seconds a lap slower at one point than the Ducatis. And of course, he was set in pole position and running at the front here at this Grand Prix, 5 months ago. And he was saying that, you know, there's a realization inside Honda, this is just like the first Grand Prix, the first step back to try and get competitive again. You know, just trying to be a bit realistic, really. But you'd have to imagine that you know, there is still a degree of worry at Honda. You know, there's still maybe a realization that the job is big.
Yeah, I mean, the job is big and they do have a lot of work. The Marini also said that he had a problem, a specific problem that slowed him up, that caused him to lose a lot of time at the start of the race. But it is a learning process, and it does, I mean, like, the thing is, there is still the sense of optimism that they are learning, that they are making progress. I think perhaps more in Honda than in Yamaha. I mean, I think Fabio, the impression I get from Fabio is that he sort of resigned himself to not being competitive, but he still wants to make progress. And he can see that, you know, they're just not making progress fast enough. And really, I mean, they're also dealing with some of the design choices they made. They wanted more power. The bike is faster, but having more power just means that you, unless you really, really work on the electronics to manage that power delivery, you just end up burning your tire a lot more. And that seems to be the problem. It seems to be the problem that they're actually using the tire too much to try to be competitive, because they still haven't worked on sorting out the electronics. And it was always, that was always the strong points of the Yamaha, of having really good electronics and really, they had really excellent drive, but a lot less horsepower.
Somebody else who has a problem, Dave, is Mr. Craig Johnson from Florida, because he was picked out of our draw to choose paddock passes for a Grand Prix of his choice for this season. And, you know, we said we'd make the draw this weekend. Steve had his Excel sheet open from everybody who signed up to be a paddock insider on our Patreon channel, and he is the winner. So we'll be talking a little bit more. I think Steve's already contacted you, Craig. But a big thanks to everybody who signed up, and we're going to try and run some more competitions for paddock passes throughout the season. This is not the only one, fingers crossed. So look out on Patreon, also on Twitter, through the Paddock Pass podcast account, and you know, look out for some more prizes and competitions that come through. Dave, it's been fantastic to talk to you, and you'll be flying to Portugal very early. I think, are you having some holiday days before we go to Portimão?
Yeah, we're going to. My lovely wife has had she hasn't had enough sunshine. She's like a little she's like a little pot plant who needs to be sat in the sun to come into full bloom, and she needs a little bit of warmth and a little bit of sunshine. So we're going down a week early. And Portimão's so it's really good weekend. It's a beautiful part of the world. You know, we go walking along the beaches. There's lots of stuff you could do. I mean, there's lots of stuff you could do anyway. There's also the dreaded G word that our good friend Steve likes to do. Yes, that's right. They've ruined it with a lot of golf courses. There's lots of other stuff as well. So it's just a really pleasant place to be.
Well, Steve, you are editing this Paddock's Note show, and you're not allowed to cut that out. We will be listening later on to the finished one, so there you go. Safe trip, Dave, but we'll be doing the this week's show from Portugal when you arrive there on Wednesday. Of course, we have that interview with Paul, updates on the Fantasy League, and lots more. So speak to you soon, and thanks for listening, everybody.